بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيد النبي وشفاء محمد وآله أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر أمري ثاني يفقه قولي إنك لا علم لنا علمت أنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Respected dear sisters, respected guests, my young friends, assalamu alaikum ta'ala. We all know we are in need of a new masjid. We have and our community 10 million. One condition, and that condition that we make some changes to the Quran, perhaps to make it a bit more appealing to people's attitudes today. 10 million, no more fundraising. You don't have to worry about anything else. Taking love, we need a okay. Don't have to worry about it. But just the Quran, so that it becomes a little bit easier, more appealing. Would we do it? Of course, right. Even if it was a minor change, that when we testify to the oneness of Allah and the messengerhood, the messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oath taken. That we're going to submit to the will and the decision and the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any changes on our part. Even if it was a minor change, we know that changing the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unconscionable. This is something that doesn't cross our minds because we know that Allah says in the Quran, للذين يكتبون الكتاب بأيديهم ثمنا قليلا ويل لهم مما كتبت أيديهم وويل مما يكسبون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so woe be to those who distort the scripture with their own hands and they say that this is from Allah seeking a fleeting gain. ثمنا قليلا, a small gain, price, even if it's $10 million, in front of Allah wa ta'ala, it's nothing. So they seek a small, so they're hating them for, because this was something which people used to do. Today, there may be people who do this, where they claim that there is scripture from Allah, from God, and then they change it around. Or they reinterpret it, they revisit it, and present it as they then intended by the legislator, the ultimate legislator, which is God Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes it is through actually changing the meaning, the actual interpreting, revisiting what and how it by their prophets, and this is something to do. In the Quran and the message of the Quran, we believe in it heard, and we believe in it in how it was believed and explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was the purpose of Allah, a messenger, to accompany the book if the book could be interpreted in any way that a reader wanted, according to their own, according to their own desire, according and their thought. So our belief in the Quran is in as it has been revealed and in the way as it has been understood by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions and the early Muslims. During the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the people found his message to be problematic. The message of Islam regarding the oneness of Allah went against and their negation of Islam brought injustice to society. The teachings of Islam are about what we discussed last week, are about establishing good conduct and justice for all. And that posed a threat to the prestige of the leaders of Mecca and their cronies, the leaders of Quraysh and their cronies. Because there are people who in every time try to take advantage of the right more than in place. And unfortunately, people also use religion or beliefs to exploit others. Happening in the days of ignorance before Islam, that the leaders, the top upper class of the Meccans, was exploiting those who had less, those who did not have the same level of prestige, and especially those who were from Mecca. So the teachings of Islam posed a threat to their power and their prestige. Try everything possible to quash Islam. They tried every single possible tactic that they could have come up with to squash the propagation of Islam. After all, Islam was and is the original way of life, mandated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the Creator, which has been the religion of all the past messengers of Allah, starting from Adam, Prophet Adam alayhi salam, through Nuh, Noah, Ibrahim, Abraham, and Musa, Moses, and Isa, Jesus, ending with Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon them all. So, these leaders of the in Mecca, they tried bullying and intimidation tactics. They tortured, mercilessly beat many of the Muslims. They imposed a crippling embargo for 3 long years. They mocked the Messenger of Allah, Allahu alayhi wa sallam, and his message, and all sorts of propaganda to get people to not listen to distract from the message. Right? They even hired singers to sing out loud when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the Quran that were revealed to him, so that people could not hear him and they could not be impacted by the power of the verses of the Quran, the words of Ta'ala, to distract them and drown out the recitation. And then when nothing worked, when none of this worked, what did they try to do? They tried to squash it. So they tried to squash it in different ways. So negotiate. People of Mecca gathered in the enclosure. And Utbah bin Rabi'ah, the chief amongst them, offered to approach the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to make a deal with him. And the idea was that they would give him whatever work he asked for. They would give him whatever he wanted. Condition that he keeps silent and no longer proclaim Islam. You'll give him whatever he wants, make him as rich as he wants. One condition. He stopped Islam, he stayed out the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people of Quraysh, they endorsed Utbah's proposal. Requested to go ahead and to start this negotiation and to undertake this task. So Utbah approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, if you are doing all of this with the view of getting wealth, then we will join together, all of the people of Mecca, all of the Quraysh, we will gather, we will join together to give you greater wealth than any of us has ever possessed. Want wealth? Give you wealth. Us has that. If it is ambition moving to our chief, and we will never decide anything referring to what you want. If you want power and leadership, we'll make you our leader. And we won't make any decisions without you. If you desire kingship, if you want to be a king, we readily offer you that and we will accept you as our king. But if it happens that maybe you are under some power of, you know, an evil spirit or something which do and dominate you, and you're not enough. We should have some skills or people who can do so that he can cure you. Now, of course, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't any of those things. So they tried to tempt him with many different things, but he was not interested in any of those. So he did, and instead he recited Surah Fussilat, which Utbah stunned. And he returned and advised his fellow leaders not to oppose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not going to work. Okay, so whatever you're trying to do, just stop. Because either way, you can oppose him. Now, a group of leaders also approached the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and proposed a compromise. They said, you know, yes. So this group, they said, you know, why don't you worship, you know, our idols for a year, and we will worship Allah alone for a year. So we'll alternate. Okay? One year idols, one year Allah, one year idols, one year Allah. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma relates that the Prophet along the lines of what we have discussed, that we shall give you so much of wealth, become the richest person. We shall also give you whichever woman you marry. We are willing to follow you and obey you as our leader on condition that you do not speak ill of our gods. If you do not agree to this, then let us agree that you worship our gods for a year and we would worship your gods. At one point, the polytheists of Mecca are reported to have made the following proposal for compromise. They got really desperate. So they said, at least touch some gods and Surah Al-Kafirun was revealed as a response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all these attempts by the of Mecca to find a compromise with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he told the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to respond in this way to the polytheists who were making these overtures and trying to come up with these deals. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ O Prophet, say, O you disbelievers, لا أعبد ما تعبدون. I do not أعبد. Nor do you worship what I worship. ولا أنا عابد ما عبد. I will never worship. ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد. Nor will you ever worship what I worship. And at the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, chapter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لكم دينكم ولي دين. Your way, and I have my way. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to these people who were trying to make the cultural beliefs that they have, your way, and I have my way, right? Is often religion, but it's actually broader than religion, right? Religion, when we think of religion, especially in today's context, we think of, you know, some beliefs, some practices, maybe uncertain. That's about it. Deen is really a way of life, right? A way, a path, a way of life. So you have your way, your faith, your beliefs, your religion. I have my way. Meaning, this cannot unite. Because we have fundamentally opposing beliefs on this matter. So never try to negotiate or convince me because it's not happening. Right? So this surah, and لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ was the final word when it came to these types of overtures and these types of attempts to try to negotiate the fundamental core beliefs of the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in one of his teachings, the Prophet has laid principle with regards to agreements, negotiations, and peace treaties. And that is, the Prophet ﷺ had reported from different chains of narration, As-sulhu ja'izun bayn al-muslimin, that reconciliation or agreements, you know, are permissible between the Muslims. And the scholars of hadith say that this is not just limited to Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ said, ja'izun bayn al-muslimin, is permissible between Muslims, but it actually applies between a Muslim and anyone else. It doesn't have to be another Muslim. So agreement are permissible between Muslims. إِلَّا سُلْحًا حَرَّمَ حَلَالًا أَوْ أَحَلَّ حَرَامًا which makes the unlawful something which is lawful. So it changes something which is haram into halal, or which makes something lawful to something which is unlawful. Right. So scholars have understood this, that when it comes to negotiations between people or between groups, right, business agreements, because this hadith is also found in the chapter relating to business transactions. So when it comes between two parties, two individual parties, everything is pretty much the same, right? You can agree to agree upon whatever you both to agree upon. It's all good. Except this. Except that which makes the unlawful into something permissible, or which makes something which is lawful into impermissible. Right? Other than that, you're fine to make whatever agreements you want. Mufti Shafi'i Uthmani writes in his great tafsir, Ma'arif al-Quran, if the various peace proposals made by the polytheists, meaning of Mecca, carefully certainly and definitely purported elements of polytheist beliefs and practices with Islamic practices, thus creating confusion. And in some cases, they required Muslims to renounce Islam, albeit temporarily, maybe for a year, and commit themselves to polytheism. And Surah Al-Kafirun denounces such treaties. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also instructed us that مَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ that there is no obedience in the creator. لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. Right, this is a golden principle of teachings. There is no obedience to the creation in the disobedience of the Creator. Why? Because the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the ultimate legislator. And if you follow the creation, which He has created, in disobeying Him, then you are essentially putting more faith, more in the Creator. To the Creator comes first, and then any His creation. Without saying that Islam teaches us to live in peace with everyone who wishes to live in peace with us. Right? We are not taught to be people who are looking to start grudges or to start issues, to start problems, to initiate, you know, of unrest. This is not what we are told to peace with those who wish to live in peace with us. To harm others, to disrespect others is not part of our ethos, character. But all of this is based on the fundamental right to believe and to practice and to share our beliefs. Of course, without imposing our beliefs on others, because Allah also tells us in the Quran, لا إكراه في compulsion in religion. There is no compulsion in religion. Right? And we find even in the case of the Prophet, right? Who actually threatened him when they were alone. Right? The Prophet was resting. This man comes and he threatens him. I'll save you now. And the Prophet says, Allah will save me. There's no one else around. And he drops his sword. And the Prophet ﷺ picks it up. He says, okay, who will save you now? Tables have turned immediately, instantly. And he says, I'm sorry. No. Sorry, you know, it's your mercy now. So the Prophet says, and I'll let you go. He says, no. Is essentially in a vulnerable position. The Prophet ﷺ tells him to believe, and he says, no. Believe, I'm not going to cause trouble. I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to believe in Allah, even though you have the upper hand now, but I will not cause any disturbance. I will not align with your opponents. I will mind my own business. And the Prophet ﷺ let him go. لا إكراه في الدين. There is no compulsion in religion. So each person will bear the consequences of their actions and their decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ultimately, each one of us, each of Allah subhanahu wa accounted or ultimately accountable? Allah. Allah. So this is the reason, my brothers and sisters, why the majority of Muslims, and especially the Muslim scholars, the Islamic scholars, have not accepted any compromise to the fundamental teachings of our faith. This is the core reason behind that. Of course, there is room to adapt secondary teachings, those that have been interpreted in different ways, companions, those that have been open to interpretation, scholars who were pious and known for their knowledge. Differed on various matters, but these are matters which have been open to interpretation. But when it comes to the fundamental and clear teachings of our faith, they are non-negotiable and they can never be changed. And this is part of our sincerity and our commitment to what we have believed in. Even if we feel like changing those things, we cannot. Because we are our own. We are to believe in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to accept, not just, but to submit to the of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from among the signs of true iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always grant the Muslims and the righteousness now until the day of judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us, every single Muslim, a source of goodness, of justice, passion, wherever we are. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.